And soon we're going to have just little old Thomas as our just little old guest telling a whole bunch of his just little old stories.
Tell me when to start.
His whole just little old Ormus adventure in Safari so far and his wanderings through the Ormus adventure. And someone else is coming to call. Tell us who you are and where you're from because we're about to get underway.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello again.
Hello?
Hello? We can hear you, whoever you are.
Well, welcome to the call.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I could be heard.
Yes, you can hear quite well. Who is that we're hearing?
My name's Martin. I was just told my number wasn't valid or something, so I thought it was cancelled or something.
No, you're on.
Yes, that yeah. means that you're actually not on this call. You're invalid.
That's what I was told. But
I didn't know we had
we're only pretending to hear you.
Anyway, so you can hear me.
Where are you from, Martin?
Yes, we can hear you well, thank you.
Where are you calling from? From London.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a Pommy accent to me.
London.
Yeah.
Which part of London?
Last week. Sorry?
Which part of London?
Oh, North London. Do you know London then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
just
Turnham
in North
Green.
Really? Turnham Green is in West London.
Yeah, I know, and I also lived in a couple other places in North London, but I just can't remember where they are.
Yeah, I'm in Farmers Green.
In W7, I think it was.
Oh, right, yeah. I think that's, I can't remember where that is.
I once made the mistake of staying in London until November. Oh, no, it's so cold!
Yeah, the weather's not brilliant, really.
Mental note to self, never do that again.
Well, they're getting, it's a lot warmer than it used to be in winter now.
Yes, thank you, George Bush.
Yeah. Confounded, maybe blessing of global warming.
I think good to go.
Okay, great, fabulous. Are we just getting some echo?
I think so.
Oh, okay, great. Now, so we are ready to cook with our guest Thomas Gekler this morning. And before we go, Harry, do you have the ability to call out the raffle winners? Because Thomas has got not one, not two, but three prizes to give away. How neat is that? Three lots of magical water.
At this very moment, not quite, but I can do it. Into the call a bit.
Okay, fabulous.
Let me also say that I'm building a trap that I'm going to donate, and people can buy raffle tickets for a trap. Maybe we can keep this going for a couple of weeks, but maybe $5 tickets or something like that. We'll raffle off the trap.
Yeah, let's do that. We won't be able to do it next call, but maybe the call after.
Oh well, we'll get that underway. It'll be whatever. In addition to the prizes tonight, I'll donate a trap to raise money here. So, anyway,
that's
one
a
of
really
the things
fantastic
that,
prize, Thomas. That, so just because a few people just came on, would you tell us that again?
Well, there's 2 1-gallon bottles of water tonight and a quart bottle that are up for raffle, and I'm going to donate a trap, and we can all we can raffle it off, but it won't be one of the door prizes to the lectures, but I don't know, keep it going for a couple of weeks and see if we can raise a little bit of money for Barry. And
that's a great idea. Thank you very much for that. It's a fabulous prize. That's a real teach the farmer how to fish type of prize, isn't it? Person gets a trap, they can make their own Ormus. Very nice.
Oh,
great.
Well, they're
prize.
They're easy to run, and even Metro Water turns out some pretty good trap water, pretty much. Or it depends on where you are, but there, Atlanta Water, New York City Water, Chicago Water, and Buffalo Water all are pretty good. But I understand L.A. Water does not make very good trap water, but I don't know. One of the things that we're always talking about is the spiritual journey of Ormus, and that's really, I guess, what I'm talking about tonight. I came to Ormus through a spiritual path rather than a scientific path, and was literally guided to it. I actually found out about it at a New Age festival at Mount Shasta, where I met Barry, and
just before you go on about that, Thomas, let me just make it clear that we're now talking with Thomas Gekler, who's our guest for today, And Thomas has been making omelets for quite some time, years now, and is just going into his history of his omelet adventure for us. And so listen, anytime you hear something you want to ask a question of, please note that down, because we're going to have a question time in, you know, whenever Thomas runs out of the overt story that he's telling us, and then we're just going to have a question time. So would you please ask your questions then and just take note of what they are. And so, Thomas, do go on with your history that you were starting with. I just wanted to bring people up to speed about that, and thanks for that, and you're on, buddy.
Okay. I started taking Ormus when I moved here and started drinking the spring water where I live. But I did it rather unconsciously, although I knew there was something pretty special about the water. Actually, I was very, very depressed at the time. It's hard to describe how depressed I was. Both my parents had passed away. I had lost a real important relationship in my life. I had lost several jobs in a row, and people were, well, my bosses were beginning to say I had interaction issues, and I don't know what they were talking about, but it was getting more and more difficult to conduct my business. I felt like I was kind of pissed off all the time, and like I wanted to take an axe down to McDonald's and prove a point or something. It at any rate, whatever it was, it took me to my edge, and I was very, very depressed. My brother had taken antidepressants and had a bad reaction to them, and then my sister had a bad reaction to St. John's wort, and so I was very reluctant to take some of the more left-brain clinical medicine remedies for depression, and I thought that I would kind of tough it out. But I came upon Ormus at about that time and started on the path. As soon as I heard about Barry's lecture about Ormus, I knew what was in my spring water, and I could not wait to come home and start trapping it. I had ordered, I think many people have read the Trap Water Diary, my first product was Ethereum Gold. And nothing much happened when I started taking the capsules. But when I came home from Wheatstock that time, I ordered a bottle of Mountain Manna from Doug Schmidt and started trapping water and started hearing the Who and noticing, well, what we all kind of refer to as the whirlies. I felt kind of altered a little bit, but I knew something was happening. And the thing is, I had spent months saying to friends, I felt like I was stuck in the void, like I wasn't progressing at all. I'd been doing all this meditation and depriving myself of foods that I truly love that aren't very good for me. And I felt like I was just depriving myself and not getting any kind of benefit or any kind of motion or any kind of spiritual benefit out of the process. And so when I started doing all this, I really felt like I began to move forward, or at least began to move, and began to notice that it really had an effect on my mood and also Dennis kind of mentioned it, you know, in his note. What sort of happens is you begin to make better choices, and I started making better choices for myself. My diet, although I did not set out to become a vegetarian or to eat raw, my diet has changed dramatically as a result of, I would say from a metaphysical standpoint, that my vibration has risen, and that as a result, I'm not as tempted to eat what my vegetarian friends would look at and say, putrefied flesh. I'm not eating as much red meat. In fact, I hardly eat any red meat. I'm hardly eating anything cooked anymore, and it's not because I don't enjoy it. It's just because that's what I'm being drawn to. So I think the Ormus, the whole thing is a process, and it's a pathway. And it's not a short pathway. It's an adventure, and it sure has moved along for me. And I think part of it is being consistent, and part of it is spending some time doing the personal work. In fact, I was talking to someone this week, and I said, and they wanted to have my recommendation as to the strongest Ormus you could buy, and something that could, you know, shock somebody out of a boredom and shock somebody into transformation. And I mean, my response was, there's no point in buying a Ferrari if you don't have a driver's license. There's some very, very fine products out there. And I've got to say that I'm glad I'm sometimes in a frame of mind where I can actually appreciate the vibration. But, the vibration of all the products, they're all very different. They all have a different frequency to them. They all carry the energy of their creators, of their manufacturers, and I think they're all kind of accidental products. I don't know that any of us started out with the intention of producing anything except for ourselves, and it sort of got out of hand. and I started sharing my water and so on and so on, and the next thing you know, I have a website. It really wasn't my intention to become one of the more frequent posters or more visible people, but that's what's happened, and I think it's because of the Ormus, not really because of me. I think it's because of the community and the opportunity to have that group process. But now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was quantum physics and quantum mechanics and those people who are very left-brainedist and they have to explain the extra electrons and orbital shells and all that, and quantum physics, the smaller and smaller you go, the less and less physical it becomes. It's less and less logical and less physical. Even Niels Bohr talked about electrons jumping from orbit to orbit. And said that while they did so, they disappeared to some place. There was no in between the orbit place that they popped out and then popped back in. And that's Niels Bohr, for God's sakes, talks about that. But the whole idea is that the smaller and smaller you become at the level of the atom. What happens is, the physicists call it the collapse of the wave function, and so all bets are off at that level. This is where the question whether or not matter functions at the quantum level, whether it functions like a wave or a particle, and that the observer, the act of observing it, changes all of that. So I don't have the same problem explaining all of this, because I think it's in the quantum realm, and all bets are off in the quantum realm. In fact, not only does quantum mechanics predict, but it guarantees that the smaller and the deeper that you go, the more energetic and dynamic and fluid all the particles become, that matter itself becomes, and that there's an intangible force under it all that affects the physical world. So I think this very well explains Ormus. I think Ormus is a quantum event, the folks who are trying to explain exactly what it is, I think we're trying to use, as they say, now we are trying to do the impossible, which is to describe the indescribable. I just don't think we have words to describe it, either scientifically or energetically. So, the whole idea, I think, is thinking outside the box, and I think Ormus is a vehicle to do that. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, and one of the more startling aspects of it is that the Indians did not see Columbus's ship on the horizon because it was not within their experience. They weren't prepared to see it because it wasn't within their experience. So your brain will only recreate, your senses will only recreate what your brain has in it already. And so the whole idea, I think, with Ormus is to stretch that brain and to think outside the box. Because if we can wire it in our brain first, we'll begin to see it and to have it and to feel it and to hear it. These things that we have always heard and felt and heard and seen, that those things that are our birthright, the things that Jesus was talking about when he says, you know, this and more shall you do. What I am, you can do. I think that these are the abilities of the ascended master or the ascending master or someone who's walking around in a higher level of consciousness. And it's my continuing theory that Ormus is one of the many vehicles that accelerates that process and that allows you to do that, to walk around in an expanded level of consciousness and access these higher brain states. The inevitable result of these expanded levels of consciousness is, as I understand life, is happiness and contentment and physical health and a lot of things. But you know, more particularly, it's I think where we're all going. The purpose, we're really not just here auditing this planet. We're all here for a grade, and I think that this is a way to kind of wake up. It's I think it's a real vehicle, as Barry calls it, an actual link between spirit and matter, and that certainly has been my experience as well. I think nothing has been the same. But
could you give us some?
You know,
specific?
I guess the point of starting all that was to say, I got to say I feel pretty good now, and I'm dreaming dreams that, and going for things I never thought that I would have less than 10 years ago. I was literally so depressed I could not get out of bed, and when I opened my eyes in the morning I would kind of groan. Oh my God, I'm still here, and I know it doesn't sound well. It was pretty disabling for me, and I don't think I've ever felt so profoundly distressed in my life. But and everything is very, very different now. And I think for me, Ormus probably and taking it consciously and the process that it has led me through, I think is probably the largest single contributor in that process. I do know that folks who are drinking the water are taking fewer pain pills, fewer antidepressants, and fewer anti-inflammatories, and I think that Ormus has a way of also increasing the effect of medications. I find that even a sip of wine, everybody can do, that's the other thing. People talk about, I want to feel it, you know, and I say, well, then have a glass of wine. But I find that when I take a sip of wine, I can feel it in my stomach and hit my bloodstream. I've gotten so very, very sensitive to it I'm hardly drinking any wine at all. I'm no longer doing any kind of intoxicant, just simply because I, as Deepak Chopra would say, I'm making my own, I guess. I don't find that I have the same a desire to alter my consciousness like I used to. And this from a man who would describe himself as a recovered alcoholic and someone who's had quite a drug experience in my life. I'm the one who says all the time, Ormus is not psychedelic. Believe me, I know psychedelic. I don't think Ormus is the least bit psychedelic. I don't think it's a substance that's going to change your consciousness so dramatically that people will have the aha experience that everybody wants, the transcendental experience of the man who took 500 milligrams for 40 days on a fast and started seeing auras and hearing voices. Those are all things that you can do if that's what you want to do. But I would urge you to look beyond that and see them as a stop along the way rather than the destination of the journey itself. Certainly, you know, I'm not doing all of this so that I can read people's mind and see the color of their aura. Although it's kind of fun once in a while to do that, that's really not why I'm doing it. To tell the truth, really my greatest concern is my own as the Catholics would say, my own immortal soul. Rather than I'm glad to leave footprints. I'm glad to tell people about my experience, but you know, really, it's just to get my own soul group out of here. I think if I am my soul group's best chance of completing our mission at this C1 level consciousness and getting off this planet and moving on in the scheme of things, then I want to use every possible resource and every possible bit of information I can in order to facilitate that process.
But you're having more fun.
Well, I am. I'm having an awful lot of fun just lately, and you know, and one of the things that I've had the most fun with is sound and binaural beats and this actual altered consciousness. I talk about Monroe Institute simply within the context of Robert Monroe's book. Incidentally, I have not heard about the job yet, although that's still pending. Robert Monroe wrote a series of three books, about out-of-body experiences, which he found he was having quite spontaneously beginning in the 50s. And at first he thought he was going crazy, and because it's not the kind of thing that you can chit-chat about, you know, standing in line at the bank. It's pretty distressing to many people, but at any rate, Robert Monroe started talking about it and studying it, and out came three books, and he set up an institute, which is really meant to study expanded levels of consciousness. But he found that when he got out of his body, he set up a roadmap. He set about determining where he was, the different levels, the different energies that he could access, the different literally worlds that he could vibrate himself into. And I have found it very helpful within the context of, simply because it's a roadmap, so that when I began to have, as part of this process, of I guess growth or ascension or whatever word you want to use, what started to happen was that I began to have energy rushes, which I thought initially were orgasms, because my left brain wanted to match it up with some experience, and so that's what it felt like, but that's not what it was at all. They were really energetic rushes that came from my base chakra up. Every hair on my body, on my legs and on my arm and on my head, would stand right up on end, and I'd have chills, and sometimes I would be able to speak and sometimes I wouldn't. And I began to be aware that these were large rushes of energy, and that I'd better begin to control them or to channel them in a way that they would be useful. And that's where I came upon the binaural beat technology in Robert Monroe's book, because I began to get a little disoriented with them. And I found that what was really happening, or at least my experience, was I was literally leaving my body. And without the context and without any kind of training and without any kind of experience with that, but certainly it's not the kind of stuff we talk about, you know, standing around the water cooler. I found that I was much better prepared to deal with these kind of experiences when I had the paradigm to do that, when I had the background and some sort of intellectual preparation to do that. And that's why I started reading the Monroe books. Oddly enough, I say that, but of course there are no coincidences. The person that I heard lecture immediately after Barry Carter was Barbara Bullard from the Monroe Institute, and I had spent years saying, "Gosh, I'd like to go there. I'm pretty interested in that stuff. I'd really like to go." And so I ended up going to the Monroe Institute as well at about the same time as I discovered Orma. And the thing about binaural beat technology is that it induces whole brain synchronization. The left and right brain synchronize within minutes, depending on the various frequencies that you put on. But you can create a following tone, a third tone in the brain, even at sub-oral levels, in frequencies that you cannot hear with the ear, but will still have an electrical effect upon the brain. And you can induce the brain to be in deep, various rhythms, alpha, theta, delta rhythms, beta, and gamma rhythms, and spindles, and so on, by manipulating that following tone, those binaural beat technology. And the odd thing about Ormus, for those who have not read the the coherence part of it, is that within 30 minutes of taking Ormus, the identical EEG changes are observed from Ormus alone. There were people who were meditation naive, who had never meditated a minute in their life, who took Zinergy, which is a priestess alchemy product, and I've duplicated the results.
No, that was the ZPTech product.
Oh, ZPTech, excuse me.
Yeah.
Zinergy, ZPTech, and I've duplicated those results with trap water as well. That within 30 minutes, well, actually within 10 minutes of drinking a glass of water, of trap water, you can be, well, I found myself sitting at a table with the EEG tech who was going to put me in the booth talking about what we were going to do with the session, and she said, well, you know, you're already in a deep theta and deep delta rhythm, and you're sitting here alert with your eyes open, talking. This is not what we normally associate with a deep theta rhythm. And the whole idea is that it changes the way your brain acts, and it wakes the whole thing up. And now remember again, your brain will only see what it is that your senses have already seen. So if what you do is you light up new nerve pathways, you're having whole new experiences within your brain that your senses will follow along. You're making your box bigger, so to speak. So that you know, and remember now, the brain is having 400 billion, that billion with a B, biochemical reactions at every second are going on in your brain, of which you're only aware of 2,000 of those 400 billion bits of information. So, you know, I think what Ormus does and what binaural beat technology does is alter the way that you perceive that. Perhaps it's a different 2,000 bits of information, or perhaps it's 3,000. You know, remember, if we're only using 10% of our brain, just think what happens if we double that. And that's 20% or 30%. Or, my God, what if we could use 80 or 90%? And I think that's how the masters do it, is they walk around using more of their brain.
Have you noticed that a greater sense of coherence when you go into that theta-delta state?
I think that it's a vague way to describe it, but I think that's a good word to use. It's, in fact, I've used that word to describe John Hudson's powder, his the white powder that is making the rounds just now. I find it expansive and coherent, I guess. I feel very calm. I feel very peaceful. If I examine my consciousness state, I would say it would be like an expanded focus 15, a universal kind of unity level. And I think that that's I think that would be a good way to physically describe the EEG coherence as well, because that's literally what happens in your brain. You stop having little sharp impulses over here and there, and your brain skin temperature goes up, your galvanic skin response and skin resistance go down, your heart rate variability decreases. In other words, you become more autonomic than automatic, and your blood pressure goes down, your blood sugar stabilizes, your kidney flow increases, your core level increases, your body temperature stabilizes somewhat as well. So there are a lot of physiologic changes that go along with it, and I don't know whether it's the coherence that leads to the physiologic state or the physiologic state leads to the coherence, but I'm quite sure that in as much as there are many different paths that lead to brain coherence, I'm relatively sure it's the coherence that is the desirable state, though, because sun gazing leads to it. Certain essential oils, there's essential oils that contain, in particular, the substance is called sesquiterpenes, and the sesquiterpenes are in the, oddly enough, you know, the oils that you know about: spikenard, frankincense, myrrh, all the cassia. raven sour, all the oils of the Old Testament, as they say. And they all have, oddly enough, sesquiterpenes. They knew that then. As you know, Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus with spikenard before his crucifixion. That supposedly induced expanded consciousness for him. So there's essential oils, there's meditation techniques, breath of fire, kundalini yogas, all kinds of different yogas. All of these things do the same thing. They're meant to raise your energy and they all result in the same thing, coherence of the brain. Changes at the level of the brain that can be documented on EEGs and physiologic changes that are associated with reduced stress and increased health and increased well-being and all this sort of stuff. So I think Gormis is just another vehicle.
All of these changes mapped out in the Monroe process?
Well, no. At Monroe, when they monitor the people in the check units, they used to use lots of different parameters, but now they only really follow the ones that they have found to be meaningful, which is skin resistance, galvanic skin response, and skin temperature, as well as heart rate variability. In fact, there's various monitors that you can purchase. Deepak Chopra has put out a monitor that hooks to your computer that you can obtain. Of course, there's a lot of blah, blah, blah with it. There's a Deepak Chopra lecture, and a Shakti Gawain is on it. She talks for a while and so on. It's all meant to educate you and to reduce your stress and all that. But it is called a Healing Rhythm, and it comes with the IOM, biofeedback hardware and figure senses, and a trainer guide and manual and all that. And let me look at this thing. For more information, visit hemi-sync.com. That's hemi-sync.com. And it's a whole program. Manage stress and develop your intuition by combining HemiSync, which is binaural beat technology, with healing rhythms. And the whole idea is to learn how to reduce your stress levels and increase your healthy rhythms. And basically what this is doing is causing full brain synchronization and teaching you how to reach these expanded levels of consciousness. And once you build those nerve pathways, remember, you know, even if you're not doing it consciously, you put on the HemiSync. There's lots of different manufacturers, too. There's a brainwave generator. There's frequencies that you can find. There's a book called Mastering Astral Projection by Robert Bruce that comes with CDs. The CDs have a brainwave generator and various frequencies. So there's lots of avenues available to retrain your brain. And when you do that, what you do is build new nerve pathways. And when you build new nerve pathways, what that does is open up your senses. Remember, we're defining this. Everything you're looking at pretty much is defined by your senses. What you can see and hear and feel, you know, and even though we know intellectually that there's a lot more that, you know, like x-rays and infrared and radio waves and stuff, we know intellectually that they're out there, but we can't see them or feel them. We can measure them indirectly. But, the largest group of things out there are the things that we don't even know that we don't know. And what I'm saying is there's a lot more of that, you know, like Shakespeare said, there's much more under heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in our philosophy. And I'm just urging everybody to kind of stretch their box a little bit and learn those abilities. I suppose we're here to...
Hey, Thomas, would you give us a link to Robert Bruce? You mentioned this Robert Bruce character. How would we find his material?
Well, his book is called Mastering Astral Projection, and I'm sure I got it from Amazon, but Robert Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, and I don't know that he has a website, but when I bought this, it came with a CD, and it's the same program that is online at www.mastering.com. B as in boy, W as in Wendy, G-E-N, B-W-Gen, as in Brainwave, BrainwaveGenerator.com, BWGen.com. And as part of that website, They have all of the frequencies associated with this book, Mastering Astral Projection, are listed on the website, and they're free. So there are those, you can download that brainwave generator or buy the book and get it as part of the CD. But there are various frequencies on that site, in the library of frequencies that you can explore that people have developed over the years. Some are for sleep, some are for astral projection, some are for, alertness, some are to control autism symptoms and so on. So binaural beat technology, binaural beats like that, are very effective in doing so in a non-chemical way. And that, again, was one of my efforts, was to do this all non-chemically, simply because I was really pretty afraid of what the pharmaceuticals would do to me after they put my brother in the hospital and my sister in Cleveland Clinic. So Robert Bruce, and for those of you who are interested in exploring out-of-body experiences, Monroe Institute is monroeinstitute.com, all one word, Monroe Institute. They have various programs that are residential programs, where you go there and you literally lay in a isolation booth all week and listen to these frequencies and build your nerve pathways and have various experiences. I began to have my Kundalini experiences in the booth at Monroe. I combined my Gateway experience, which was the initial Monroe experience, with Ormus. In fact, I was passing out Ormus to all the people in my Gateway. In fact, the facilitator finally had to ask me to be a little more judicious with it, because they were having people who were having real breakthroughs, and they had their hands full. So I think it's Ormus and binaural beat technology and sun gazing and essential oils and the advanced Kundalini experiences and so on. I think it's all the same path, and these are all little rest areas along the expressway that Ormus puts you on. And I'm glad that I have the training and the background in metaphysics and these kind of concepts. Otherwise, I might be thinking I'm schizophrenic or something. I don't know. I think this would be too intense an experience to have without any kind of context. And I'm having a great time. So I'd invite anybody along. I think the message I'd like people to hear is slow and steady. You know, if you're consistent about it, I don't think it matters what you're taking. If you're making salt water precipitate and you're taking that consistently and it's your own and you're putting some effort into it, first of all, it'll get better and better and better as you make it more and more, and as you get clearer with your own intention, as you begin to filter out some of the extraneous stuff and become a little clearer on your own path and where it is you want to go and what you want to do. I've been very fortunate in that it's all kind of coincided with the free time and opportunity to do it. Without realizing it, I've manifested the perfect. I lost my job last year. I use the words I lost my job, but actually I arranged for myself to lose it so that I could be with my best friend when she was diagnosed and underwent treatment for cancer of the lung. And I got a job back during the boring part of her treatment, and right at the end when she started to deteriorate, I arranged to lose my job again. And I was very lucky in that I was able to be with her and spend all that time with her. And not only that, but have the time afterwards to grieve it all through properly without having to deal with the day-to-day 3D get up and go to work kind of thing. And so, you know, I am inspired constantly by my friend Barry and Barry who brought and planted a time bomb on my computer. He transferred all his Abraham Hicks stuff over to my computer, which I have been working my way through. Abraham Hicks is really the law of attraction, and one of the things that encourages you to do is to go for something that's just so big, that's so outrageous, that if it should happen, that you'll have absolutely no doubt that you're creating it all. And that's what I've done. I've gone for this position at Monroe Institute as the executive executive director there, and I believe that I'm going to pull this off. And so I'm going to have to say, you know, after a couple weeks from now, I'm just going to have to say, I'm not the Doubting Thomas anymore. I believe. Praise the Lord. Because that's what my experience is.
I haven't told you already.
I thought it was all hokey, and I didn't have a clue about the manifestation process. I thought that it was a real active process. All you have to do is be real clear what it is you want and where you're going. Think about it. Put the pebble in the stream and walk away. And don't ever think about it again. And then it will show up. And when it shows up, make sure you acknowledge yourself. I did that. That's me. I got that parking space next to the door. I did that. Or like, oh, look. I picked that winning lottery ticket. You know, give yourself credit. Because it's you showing up, and it's you that's doing that. You're manufacturing it all. And rather than just sit and wait for it to all come at you, you can manipulate it. It's a responsive universe. Remember, this is underneath all of this coherent physical universe is this incoherent quantum chaos of pure potentiality, and you can manipulate that quantum web, that your potentiality into whatever it is you want, whatever it is you want to show up. It's just that, and not only that, but this is what we always used to do. We forgot how to do this. Remember, it says in the Bible, Adam fell into a deep sleep. Nowhere does it ever say he woke up, and that's the problem. This is a world full of sleepwalkers. It is our natural right to be awake and alert and to walk around as the gods we are. Jesus said, what I am, you are. What I can do, you can do. This and more will you do. The kingdom of heaven is spread before your eyes, but we don't see it. So I'm trying to act on that and to move forward with that. The kingdom of heaven is before our eyes, and I'm beginning to see it, you know. And I'm beginning to do the things like you can do. And you know what? I find them kind of boring. And people say, oh, you can see my aura. What color is my aura? And then, of course, it disappears as soon as they say that. It's an interesting process, but believe me, it's not an end in itself. I feel anything but inclined to set up a booth at the carnival and guess people's weight and read their auras and read their palms. I'm just not the least.
I always thought you were a carnival kind of guy.
I am a clown, but not a palm reader, at least. So anyway, so that's my story. It's been a real exciting journey. And it's been a journey back to real wellness and wholeness from somebody, honest to God. I was at the point where I was literally planning when, you know, well, I've got enough money to last about 6 months, so in about 6 months, by then I want to have enough pills that I can off myself. And believe me, you know, I know how to do that. And so it really I can't tell you how dramatically different my life is. And I've got to say that largely it's been Ormus and binaural BTEC. Now it's been whole brain coherence, however I've achieved that. And that being sun gazing and essential oils and meditation and mostly Ormus and binaural beat.
And realizing that all of these changes are your own damn fault.
Well, that's exactly right. Realizing that all of this that's coming at me is me. It's all a mirror. And you know, when my friend, I have a friend, Serafina, and Serafina said, you know, just remember it's all a mirror. And when she told me that, I just didn't have a clue. I sort of did, but I sort of didn't. I didn't have a clue of what she was saying, but it's really true. It's when I'm interacting with somebody, I really get that's me. And in a very real sense, I don't know whether that's a future me or a past me, but it's all me. And you know, in religious terms, God had one son, and we're all it. And there's just one of us here, and that we have different bodies gives us this illusion of separation. The truth is, I don't think we are separate at all, and I think that that's the quantum web that unites us all. And that's why, you know, and I think that's all, that it's like hearing an old song that your grandmother sang, or smelling grandma's perfume or something old and familiar. This is something we recognize from our past lives. This is valuable, and this is meaningful and different, and something I want to remember. And so I'm grateful to have people like Barry in my life who maintain some sort of balance with all this. And I'm happy to be able to.
I think we should take some time for some questions. We're nearing the end of the time for the free room, but right before we do that, I'd like to announce the winners of the raffle.
Who are they?
Richard Raschick, number one. Chalamet Isle and Willie.
Who was
Holland.
The second name?
Chalamet. Mm-hmm. And Willie Holland, number
Willie
three.
Willie Holland. Well, you'll have to send me everybody's email so that I can contact them and send them off some water.
I don't think any of them are on this call.
I don't think so either.
We celebrate for you. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Now, if anyone wants to make a question, you'll have to unmute yourself, because I went through and muted everybody because of the noise.
So go ahead. Hit star 7 and speak up.
Star 7.
Yeah. You don't need to, because we can hear you.
I know.
Are there any
questions? What do you want to say, Arlene?
Well, I actually had the pleasure of receiving some of Thomas's water, and I've been trying it out for the last couple of weeks. And I think it's wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. How's your arthritis doing?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, you were having arthritis, as I recall, weren't you?
No, actually, I was having bursitis in my hip. That was the thing that was acting up at that point. And it's gone now, but it's a slow process, I think, for that.
Well, I'm glad that it helped some.
I was in a lot of pain, though, for 4 weeks, and now you'd think that I didn't have any problems.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that. I often say that you'll absolutely get healing from Ormus, but it's not always a cure, and sometimes people's symptoms will get worse before they get better, like Vinny was calling it a couple of weeks ago, a healing crisis.
Right. I think I've gone through a lot of them this last year, but I don't know. I must have did something bad in another lifetime.
I'm calling my healing crisis middle age. I'm 58, so.
Well, I'm 45 now. I don't feel like I'm middle-aged yet, but maybe this is the middle age. I don't know.
Oh,
I think
I don't know.
It would be higher.
I keep waiting. They told me I was a late bloomer. I'm still waiting.
Well, I'm kind of glad I finally figured out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Does that mean you've bloomed already, Barry?
That means I've bloomed already? No.
Yeah.
It just means that I've decided I know what I want to do. Not
if you ever grow up.
Not really doing it yet.
Are you in full bloom?
So if you ever grow up, you know what you want to do.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
I'm telling you, this Ormus is not helping. My hair is now no longer white. My mustache is so dark that people accuse me of dyeing it. I just went to my 40th high school reunion. And I was the only one of the group that came that still had hair, and they were amazed that it was so natural colored. So it really does work. I don't know that it's the fountain of youth, but I think that it does. It has changed my hair, changed the texture of my skin. It really does have those kind of effects as well.
Good to have a talented hairdresser.
Thomas,
a
question.
It's really hard to fake those white hairs that are interspersed still.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, it looks very natural, you know. But you're right. It's not just to the roots. It's and there's a fair amount of gray hair still interspersed a solid color, and that's different. I've had some. Well, you know that, Barry. You've been here a couple times. You know my hair has been whiter in the past, and
you get some before and after.
As has yours.
On the web.
So,
Thomas, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I have a quick question for you. In that famous spring of yours, the spring of trellis.
Trilita.
Or whatever it is. Trilita?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have a similar source up here in Canada. And
uh-huh.
it was a native legendary fountain of youth, and it sort of gives you the same results, the hair color and et cetera. And
Super.
The water just tastes really good. And you just want to drink a whole lot of it, you know. It's, It's really good water, and I've never really trapped it because it's not really my on my property, at least not anymore. It was at one time belonged to my grandparents. But I was just wondering if there's any way that you can test this. Is there any way of other than subjectively than that you can examine the qualities of the water with maybe?
Well, I have not tested beyond my subjective impression. There are folks who have extracted metal from trap water, as much as a pound and a half, I understand, from Las Vegas trap water. But that is not what I do, and I have no real idea how to do that.
But you've also done the ether method, haven't you, on the...
Oh, well, I've done that subjectively, but that, again, is rather qualitative rather than quantitative. You can take ether and shake it with a standard amount of water and in a separatory funnel and then evaporate the ether and have a residual kind of, it's very sticky. It reminds me of silicone stopcock grease. It's very sticky, much thicker and stickier than petroleum jelly, more like silicone grease. And you can... measure that, you can weigh that, and that's how I've, or initially, that's how I was measuring the amount of ormus in my water, by performing an ether extraction and then weighing the finite amount of ormus grease that it produced. Now I don't, I'm not really, well, I haven't been able to find ether. It's now on the terrorist list, of course, and I haven't been able to find it. But I'm not having to do those analytical. My left brain isn't requiring the same sort of proof as it was insisting on to start with.
Did you notice a difference between what amount you got from the water right out of the faucet versus what you got out of the trap?
Oh, absolutely. The trap certainly concentrated it, and what I started doing was manipulating the configuration of the trap to see if I could maximize to increase the yield, and that's how I came up with the initial configuration, which is really a modification of Bob Winter's sink trap, and I've added a little bit to it as I've been able to perceive the ormus better. I literally see it and hear it at this point, and when I'm unsure, I ask my guidance about it, and they're very specific.
And that works better than the ether.
Well, for me it does, and it was in fact very gratifying a couple weeks ago to hear Vinny talk about his guidance as well, because it's something that's difficult to talk about. You know, when you say you listen to voices and that you ask for advice, and you know that as much education as I have had and as much as I should know, you know, myself, I still am asking my guidance about it, and I really couldn't tell you who that guidance is other than it's an aspect of me. It's my highest self, and that's in fact that's who Robert Monroe, when he wrote his books, he was having guidance, and he found out in the end his big breakthrough was that all his guidance came from himself, what he called his inside guide turned out to be his future self come back to him, guide him through the process.
Yeah.
And now remember, it's only here that we have time and space. Over there, once you get out of your body, there's no time and space. So you can come back to yourself. You're not bound in the same way as you are in this time and space universe. And so what I'm saying is this is the bad dream, my friend. You know, you learn how to manipulate the dream, and you can have it turn out however you want it. All you have to do is learn the skills. Like, you know, at first you have a training wheels on your bike so you don't fall over, but pretty soon you don't need the training wheels. You build the nerve pathways, and once those pathways are built and you keep using them, they'll build stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's no going back. Once you wake up, there's no going back to sleep.
To learn how to ride that bike, never the same. Always easy.
And that's the thing about it; it's second nature. I think that this is all intuitive. This is all stuff that you know. This is your spiritual journey.
I'm going to give one more question from the free room. Anyone in the free room have a question? And I'm going to turn it off.
It'll be a no.
No questions from the free room.
All the questions are paid for from now on in.
Okay.
Anyone from the benefactors room want to pick Thomas's brains?
I believe Thomas covered his subject so well that he's
answered all our questions.
Everybody's speechless.
Yeah, everybody's still processing. Further, I do have...
I am, you are. What I can do, you can do. Really.
Yeah, I hear you, Thomas. Further to that water, I wasn't aware of the ether process, but I'm going to give that a try if I can't.
Check on Subtle Energies and search for ether extraction.
If you have to use
diethyl ether, you can use petroleum ether if you're not going to, which you can get, but petroleum ether is an unrefined product, and if you're thinking about consuming it, then you're going to have to get the diethyl ether.
It's not a good idea to consume it in any way. It's best to just use it as a test.
I've only ever used that grease on my skin, but I've never consumed it.
Is that, Thomas, what did you say?
I've only ever used the Ormus grease on my skin, and I've never consumed it.
How
did
that work?
Well, it disappears into your skin, and I still look the same, pretty much.
Well, that's consuming it, you know, because your skin eats as well.
Well, it's true. Your skin is your largest organ, and as we often point out when we talk about essential oils, it's one of the largest portals that you have into your body. So you're exactly right. You do consume it, but in a different way.
Thomas, can I ask you what your theory is about how the magnetic traps work? I'm fascinated by the fact that you can concentrate Ormus more by magnets and what magnets are, but what are they? I don't know what they're doing. I mean, what?
Well, and that's the thing about it. When you talk to a physicist about magnetism, they don't know what magnetism is. It's one of the least understood forces that we have. And as you know, that's how we generate electricity.
Yeah.
And we all use electricity, and we don't understand that either. But my theory, I would defer to people who apparently have an interest and have studied that. In that the David Hudson says that the subtle magnetic field of the human body was enough to levitate fly ash, and that the subtle magnetic energy was enough to do that. I started adding magnets to my trap, and I found I got less Ormus, and I didn't like the vibration of it as well, and so I started taking the magnets off, and it seemed to work better. That's about as experimental as I got. I don't know that I know what's happening in it. I know there's something in the water that is either being activated or concentrated, and it must be concentrated because it's in the regular tap water, but not to such an extent. And I guess what I'm doing is dancing. I don't know exactly how they work. I surmise that the Ormus itself is knows that there's a magnetic field up here. It knows when I have the trap on, as opposed to when I'm running, say, water for my shower. I think that the quality of the water changes during the day, and it's almost as if the little game for the Ormus down the hill in the spring is to get up and out the tap and into the septic field without having to go through the magnetic field. That makes any sense at all. But it certainly has a consciousness to it. And I think the trap are one of the ways of concentrating that consciousness. I think that when I spend the time to sit and meditate and hold the space around the trap and sit and put my Rife machine frequency tubes in my socks and put on the Nupur Rosarum and control the environment and make sure that all the dishes are cleaned up in the kitchen sink I think I make much better Ormus than when I don't attend to those things. I don't know what the theory would be that would unite all that, but I think that all of it contributes. I think that it being a conscious molecule, that it makes a difference. But I couldn't really tell you what the mechanism is, except to say that I'm quite sure it's quantum. it's below the Planck level, you know, where all bets are off, and it's so small that that it's the irrational web that's below it all.
Now, you have actually improved your traps along the way. So you are, I'm guessing you are getting some intuition, some observation about what works better. Just, I don't even want to say on a mechanical level because it's all interconnected.
Well, you know, the traps that I actually make and sell are pretty basic. What I've done is improve them and add little things to them, you know, that I think make them better traps. But the trap that I use, they are like the ones that I manufacture and sell, but they're not identical. It's a trap that I can open, for example, so I can play around with the way the vortex spins inside. I can add magnets inside, and so on. So I can alter it, and it's not quite the same as the basic trap that I sell. But the basic trap really kind of encompasses many of those changes that I made along the way. I found, for example, that I could not get an absolutely watertight connection on a curved surface without a whole lot of bothering and special drilling and all that. So what I did is I altered it so that the inlet came in from the top, which is a flat surface, or at least in the caps that I buy, it's a flat surface, and it's much easier to get a watertight seal there. So really, you know, necessity has been the mother of invention and has led to some of the modifications. But I have added, I've changed the magnets and ordered the magnets differently and have added a magnet in the trap, inside the trap itself, since I started building these traps. And I think it makes substantially better water than the original traps did.
Sounds exciting.
Well, I'm playing with it and modifying it myself. And, you know, like I said, it really, I think most of us out here who manufacture these things or offer them for sale actually are really doing it out of our own interest and kind of out of fun. And that's really what's happened is that I've kind of modified the trap along the way. I do get letters occasionally from people who bought some of the original traps who want their traps modified and changed, you know, and because they too are getting intuitional about it. And they're like, well, I'd really like to add one from the bottom. How do you suggest I do that? So on. So I think it's something that everybody begins to sense is that increasing inner dialogue, and that there's someone there. You say, hello, are you there? And what you hear back is, yeah, I'm here. And it's more than just, you know, the voice of your conscience, the one that says, oh my God, I can't believe that woman wore stretch pants. That's not the voice I'm talking about. That's your narrator. That's your interpreter.
That could be your future self, as you said. I found that a fascinating thought.
Well, you know, interestingly, I was in the Walmart the other day, and I was walking along, and this very large lady bent over facing me. She was down the way, and she was facing me. She bent over towards me, and I was thinking to myself, well, thank God I'm not behind her. And interestingly, you know, and she stood right up and she looked me in the eye, and I knew that she heard me. I knew she heard me think that. And
no,
that's the difference. If you're going to walk around, if you're going to walk around packed and loaded with Ormus, then be aware that people can hear your thoughts, that every thought is formative, and that every thought is powerful, that you're creating with every thought. So be real careful what you think. Be real careful what you think, because you're always going to get...
That's why I don't want super high Ormus at this point. I'm just gradually, a little at a time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's what I meant. You know, if right now you want to drive a Toyota Corolla, that's great. There may come a time you want to get in the Ferrari and take it for a spin. I just found it very exhilarating but very terrifying, and frankly, I'm quite happy with my Toyota.
Just think more quietly, Thomas.
More quietly. I guess that's the trick. It's never been my strong suit.
Hey, keep your thoughts to yourself.
But wait till this is over, okay?
Well, oh, my God, can you imagine if they give me a venue and a microphone? If I get this job at Monroe, hold on, this planet's fixing to change.
What would you like to do with Ormus if you get a job there?
I'd like to integrate Ormus and other consciousness raising things into it to maximize that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about even raw food retreat. They have 1 week workshops. I'm talking about intensives, 3 and 4 week workshops,
uh-huh.
silent retreats, meditation retreats. I at one time was in a monastery. I found the quiet regimen to be very, very enlightening. And so I'd like to combine those kind of techniques with Monroe. Monroe himself was so left-brained, he really wanted his work to be very clean and not what he used to call contaminated by the New Age lingo and cult followings and things like that. So he really made an effort to completely divorce it from, meditation and religion and God, you never say the word God there and this sort of stuff. And that's the same thing I find lacking in The Secret. You know, it's a wonderful concept, but it doesn't talk about your inner guidance. It doesn't talk about that part of you that is pure spirit and
mm-hmm.
pure potential and that you can access at any time. It's a little more left brain than that. And I think that if you listened for that message, you heard that as well. But I would agree it's a little bereft spiritually. And I'd like to bring that spiritualism to Monroe in a way that Robert Monroe never allowed it there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to kind of soften up the cheese in a way. And after all, you know, Monroe Institute is the out-of-body place. You know, there's other people teaching out-of-body experience workshops, not Monroe. I figure Monroe is the expert in it. Monroe ought to be out teaching it. The other thing is gateways. I instead of making people come to Virginia, I think with wireless headphones, you can take it to almost any place. You set up a Wi-Fi
network.
Me and
Sean can go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to Australia, Dennis.
Sounds good.
It can
put
go
Canada
anywhere.
On this too.
Literally, it can go anywhere, and that's what I want to do with it. So, want to spread it around.
All
make
right,
the world.
No necessity to cut your body across the planet to hear some sound somewhere else when you can hear your sound where you are.
Well, exactly, and then of course, you know, let me add that once you build the nerve pathways, you don't need the sounds. You don't need the brainwave generator once you know how to generate the brainwaves. All of it is a prop. Even the Ormus, it's just a prop. It is because you say it is. The crystals and the massage oil and the breathing and all of it, the physical body, all of this, it's just a prop. Interesting way to look at it all, but anyhow. Gosh, I never thought I'd talk this long.
Hell yeah. You know, just as you were talking about at the binaural beats and the sound and so on, I became aware that I was aware of the huge, quite audible amount of shoe sounds, you know, that something, that nada, that nothing, that background auditory life force sound in both ears.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's always there when you listen for it. But I don't find it intrusive at all. I have treated patients for tinnitus, ringing of the ears, and they find that very disturbing. I don't think this is tinnitus. I think this is very different.
Yeah, fine. And I just think it's a life force going, hello, I'm here.
Exactly.
Pay attention.
Kind of like your echo. Hello, hello.
Yeah. Any other questions for Thomas? Any other questions for Thomas? Any other questions for Thomas?
Yeah, I just got a thing to add. This is Lou there in Tucson. Regarding diethyl ether, they sell it on the Internet. I looked up on sciencelab.com, and they got a liter of ether for $83, which is chemically pure. That's all. Thank you.
Oh, well, there. That's a good price.
Thanks. That's good news.
I guess it's...
But you might have the FDA after you. I don't know.
That's all right.
Who is the company, Lou?
Pardon?
Scientificproducts.com.
Let's see. Sciencelab.com.
Sciencelab.com.
There's one of many.
Airport security confiscated a quart of Turlitis tears on my way up to Buffalo last week. It must have glowed in the dark or something. I thought you were supposed to be able to take it, but they said...
Yeah. You're in danger of exploding the plane.
They also took my manicure set, so I think they were afraid I'd cut everybody's nails.
Yeah, right.
You can't even take shampoo or any of your... If you put them on the in your luggage and it goes through security and it stays in your luggage, then you're allowed to take it.
No, they took the quart out of my checked luggage.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and nobody can tell me why they did it, but I know why. I bet George is drinking my water now. No, I'm just kidding.
His
brother is like that.
If only he would, we'd be out of Iraq next week.
Yeah, that'd really mellow him out.
Don't get me started.
Get us all started. Hey, Thomas, here's something that no one has ever explained on any of these calls, and I'm going to give you a chance to have a go at it. What are, or how would you describe the whirlies?
The whirly.
Come on.
I literally
give
think
a,
that what that
a,
is is.
A proper scientific rundown on the whirlies.
Scientific rundown. I literally think that's what happens is that you begin to experience those energies that naturally lift us out of our body, that lift us beyond our body. And that's, you know, many people, when they start describing out-of-body experiences at the moment of separation from their body, they describe those exact things. The whirlies, a vibration, an underlying hum. Many of the it's I don't think it's coincidence that it's the same language. And I think the whirlies are, you know, us becoming, as Steve Martin joked about it, remember he used to talk about getting large, getting real small and getting real large, but I think that's just us getting real large. Hmm. I think it's our energetic bodies energizing beyond our physical body, and as you know, we're much larger than our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are just the manifestation of our energetic field, and that most energetic healers will tell you your field is about as big as you can stretch your arms out around you. That's how most people will see your aura, who see auras. And if you get it taken, your photograph taken, you know, it's very much, your energetic body is very much like it's depicted on the aura photographs. So I think that what the whirlies is literally us experiencing that energetic body, and for a second actually feeling ourselves as more than our physical bodies, as perhaps even out of our physical body. And that's why I suggest the grounding business, because, I mean, from an energetic standpoint, at least as an energetic healer, I've done energetic healing work for years, and I find that many of the clients aren't very well developed in the lower chakras, that we're overdeveloped in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakras, the upper chakras, and that energetically we rather look like balloons on a string. So it pays off anyway, but conscious walking, Tai Chi, any kind of physical exercise, particularly those involving breathing disciplines like yoga and kundalini, are very grounding. Taking your shoes off and going for a walk barefoot. Vinny talks about how at least once a day he takes his shoes off and spends 20 minutes in contact with the earth, his feet, and he'll sun gaze with his feet upturned to the sun as well. I think that the soles of your feet are very active, and so I think it helps to ground yourself, to pat your feet, to imagine growing roots down into the earth as if you were a tree, from the base of your spine or from your feet. I believe that helps the whirly. And then God knows what helps the whirlies for me is eating. I go directly to the kitchen and eat things I shouldn't. Red meat will bring me right down. Stop the whirlies in a second. So I think it's an energetic state, and that what it is us getting just a little bit out of our body, and that's the way we sense it. It kind of feels like being a little drunk or a little intoxicated or a little high. So there's my theory anyway. I think
works for me.
Sounds good.
I think
yeah.
It's just an expanded state. I think we're being.
Have some more of that.
And for those unvoiced fears, don't worry. Nobody can get in your body while you're not there. You'll always come back to your body. You won't get in somebody else's. No, you won't lose your body. You won't get stranded out there. And if you do, there's always help out there. You're never by yourself. You're never by yourself. Anyway, so have at it. It's a great adventure.
Cool.
Hey, it just reminded me. I just wandered in the kitchen, and it reminded me of my last ormus dish. And that is, if you put some of your netted ormus into a blender with a bit of four-leaf balsamic vinegar, which is the aged balsamic vinegar, and some soy sauce, and a bit of tahini, which is, sesame paste, and a bit of soy milk, and you blend it up, and you boil it, then you can use that as a great source of veggies or fish or anything else you want. An ormus sauce, very yummy.
Sounds delicious.
Use it for baking. And it's another great way to just have ormus that you can give to the whole family, and they'll love it.
Well, we'll all be there for breakfast.
I'll serve it at dinner.
Oh, it's, that's
any
right.
Any other questions for Thomas?
What did you say, Dennis? Did you ask about a question?
Any other questions for Thomas?
I'd like to know how to get one of your latest traps up here in Canada. Do I just go to your website and order it, or is that going to get me the new improved model, or is there...
Well, it does indeed. I built 8 traps today. 4 of them are promised, or 4 of them have been ordered. So one of them I was going to donate. So I have 3 others just now, and they would go out within a week. I've ordered some more magnets. They should be in on Monday. So, and like I said, let me put this bug in everybody's ear as well. If I do take this job at Monroe, I don't know whether I'm going to sell my house or rent my house, but if anybody wants to rent it, I'll show them how to build traps, and they can use the website, and all they have to do is send me water, and they can manufacture water, and they can even be Cherokee Gold, as far as I'm concerned, as long as people know it's somebody else, but as long as it's the same water. So anybody who's interested in North Georgia, you might kind of plant the seed, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be moving to Virginia, so I won't be building traps and I won't be making water pretty soon. I'll be transforming people in a different way as the executive director at Monroe.
That's a major offer.
It is a major offer. I have a question also. My concern with using a trap is that if the water from your town or city is chlorinated, are you supposed to remove the chlorine first and then run it through the trap?
Well, some people use a Brita filter or an under the sink filter to remove some of the chlorine. My water is not chlorinated, so I don't. But when I do make water in Atlanta, I'll hook my trap up and run the water and leave it in the pitcher overnight. And on the pitcher, I'll rubber band the paper towel over the top of it and put a magnet on the paper towel. The chlorine will off gas overnight, and the fluoride and the other chemicals that they add to it settle. So I pour off everything but the last inch or so. I understand Brita filters work pretty well. Some people use them. There are some people who say that carbon filters, even little ones, will provide a spot for the ormus to hide and that you won't get as much ormus.
They have a new filter that you can just attach right to your sink, too, now, that is like a disposable one.
Well, that's super. I the better the filter, though, like RO, the better the filter, the more likely it is that it's going to diminish some of the ormus.
Okay.
On the other hand, there are people who say that ormus is less than 1/10 of a micron and that it doesn't begin to hide in the filter unless it's inclined to do so. So and then there are people who don't have any effect from the chlorine. I mean, if it doesn't bother you and you don't mind the taste, I wouldn't. The traps do not concentrate chlorine. They do not concentrate the chemicals in the water, as far as we know. In fact, the people who have tested that have found it to be a little less concentrated in their trap water. So I know it doesn't concentrate. It wouldn't be any greater concentration than is in the water to start with, and assuming that it's safe to drink to start with, I would assume that it would be worth at least giving it a try through a trap.
Right. Does the water need, the pressure of or the momentum of something, you know, like if it's just being poured out of a pitcher, as opposed to, you know, when I put the faucet on, it comes out pretty strong.
Well,
so
you can gravity feed it, or you can use the pressure. I think the traps work better with a little bit of pressure, even if you do generate it through a gravity drop. But there, at least my traps aren't the kind of traps that you can recirculate through and through, and you get more and more ermice out. I don't understand those traps, but this is a one-pass kind of trap. And to get a gallon of water, I typically will run my tap for 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll get a gallon of water, and then I'll turn the tap off. And so whatever runs down the drain in that 10 or 15 minutes is what I would call wastewater, but still it runs out to the septic field and, you know, down the hill. It's not like a total waste, and I don't pay for my water. Now I do have people who are using the trap in Poughkeepsie, and they, which is north of New York City. And they trap the water. It's the same water as it's out of the same reservoir, and they say it makes
right. I know where the reservoir is because my husband's grandfather used to work for the big reservoir up there. It's the Ashokan Reservoir.
Oh, sure enough. Well,
he was a man of many hats.
Well, and all that water comes from upstate New York. So if it's near source water and hasn't been used too much, it should make pretty good trap water. But say, I don't want to pick on Myrtle Beach, but when I go to Myrtle Beach and stand in the shower, I know that water's been through one or two taps before it gets to me. And I would think that water would not make very good ermice water because it's been used and retreated and used and treated and used and treated. And so not all water makes good trap water. On the other hand, I'd give any water a try.
Right. Well, where my husband's uncle lives, he has a well, and I think it goes more than 500 feet down into the ground, and the water up there tastes wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've ever had it tested over the years, but they've had the house there for, you know, a long time, from before he was born, and so it's, you know, it's over 40 years, I would imagine.
That should be exceptional.
I would think that if there was any water that I would try using that water. And I know that there's no chlorine in that. So, and their home is actually close to a small reservoir, which is called Cooper Lake, which is actually it's at a little bit of an elevated height, and that reservoir is actually the reservoir for Kingston, New York.
Well, it's basically all the same aquifer, and it comes from the Adirondacks, and it should be pretty good water. I'd give it a try.
Yeah, I think I would definitely try it. And I've been I find this trap water so interesting because of the surface tension of the water is different than, you know, what you would normally get from a bottle or from the sink.
It is. It's wetter.
It kind of like stays together. That's the way I kind of see it, as staying together.
Barry tells a story in his workshops of water that would follow people around the room and move towards people.
Oh, really? Whose workshop was that?
The Barry, when he comes and
talks.
Oh,
really? Well, I don't know. Something that I've noticed, I have to switch my phone because this one is beeping. Sorry about this. I hope it doesn't make that noise. It didn't. One thing that I've noticed myself in maybe starting about 2 months ago, I felt that I had a lot of energy come in for me around the time of my birthday. But then also when Dennis talks about becoming an ormus magnet and attracting more ormus-like things in your life, I actually feel that I could feel the ormus coming to me. It's very strange. Like I'm attracted to certain things, and I
what you know is there.
I like to go down to the beach, and I find the most interesting rocks and minerals down at the beach, and have felt that I've been attracted to a lot of different things. And what I do is I just bring home some pebbles from the beach and put them in a circle, and I stick my water bottle on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm getting the energies from those rocks and minerals.
And, you know, oddly enough, on top of my trap, I have stacked some mica and some quartz and some crystals that I picked up on my walks as well. And for some reason, I feel like the ormus is more comfortable around that than it is around the magnets. And I put it at the top of the trap with the idea that the ormus is that's part of the quiet space that I'm providing for it, and that it feels more comfortable there with those rocks. And so I'm not surprised to hear that it'll improve the quality of the water. Certainly your intention in and of itself is enough to do that. But I'm not surprised that particularly rocks that have been in the ocean like that would enhance the natural ormus that's in the water to start with. You are
one of the things I've noticed about the ormus attraction effect is the ormus disattraction effect. In other words, things that are not in tune with a higher level of consciousness and a higher level of beingness will move away from you.
Mm-hmm.
More ormus like you get.
That your diet will change, and not because you're intending it, but just because it does. Your meditation.
But more so than that, people.
Well, that too. Everything changes.
Yeah.
And it's not so much intention; it just does. You know, I often say, you want to feel it. Look back and in a year, look back at your life after taking ormus consistently for a year, and then in a year, I guarantee you, you'll just wonder what happened. What the hell happened?
Found that I have more change in my pocket and in my life.
What happened? Well, I'm glad it did.
Me too.
Me three.
Change for the better.
Thomas,
yes.
When you've had very strong concentrated water, I know that there was a prep water diary, I think, that I read that was talking about light coming out of the water and like a bubble of light and like an entity of some sort. Do you have the sense that, you know, on the same subject of what ormus attracts, you know, like vibes attract other like vibes, do you have the sense that that entities, consciousnesses, if it's concentrated enough, wants to sort of live in concentrated ormus? Have you had that experience?
I feel like ormus is a living presence.
Okay.
I have not seen it actually adapt a physical body, although there are stories of people who see it getting down and running around the room energetically. I have come to feel like it potentiates an underlying process. I had a discussion with someone the other day. In fact, she said that she would give anybody ormus, and I would think that would be like giving the finest wine that you could buy to someone who doesn't know a thing about wine. Is that they'll still taste it, they'll still feel it, but they won't appreciate the subtlety of it. And it's only with that expertise and that maturity that happens. And I think that will happen over time as well with ormus. I think my ormus experience now is a much more full spectrum and mature experience than when I started. I was kind of left-brained about it. I literally embody the doubting Thomas. I'm like, prove it, show me. And when the instruction is to take a teaspoon, I take a half a cup. When it says take a half a teaspoon on an empty stomach, I'll pour myself a glassful. And because that's just how I am. And I think a lot of people are like that. And I think that it's slow and, you know, it's slow and steady wins the race. I don't know that having an existential out-of-body, really intense ormus experience would really serve my purpose in the end anyway. But it's interesting to read how many people really want that kind of aha experience. It's sort of like now that I'm having all these kundalini rushes, I'm just really not very inclined to go, and especially since I lost my partner in March, I'm just not inclined to go out and date and you know, seek sex anymore. It's sort of like I feel like I've sort of transcended it. And in the same sense, I find that I'm not interested in the same sort of stuff that I used to be interested in, whether it be, you know, NASCAR racing or I don't know, sitting in front of the TV watching football. I just don't have the time for it anymore.
I didn't know you'd given up NASCAR racing, Thomas.
You better be careful what you say about NASCAR. We know where you live. It's surprising. This is the most popular sport in the United States is NASCAR racing. And no, I'm serious. It's country music is the most popular kind of music here, too. Yeah, we're all a bunch of hicks. It's just you all don't know it outside the States.
Mm.
How do you think we elected George? Anyway, don't get me started.
Yeah.
Anyway, be the change you want to be. That's what Gandhi said. So seriously,
but we didn't
demonstrate
elect
for peace. Change the planet, you know. You can do it.
One of the things that I also noticed a few months ago is that I found someone, whenever I gave this person ormus, she would get sick straight away. And
yeah, what?
I got to see, she would just get sick straight away.
Quick.
Sick.
Sick.
Oh, okay.
I used to go
That's
to sleep.
A good ormus.
When I first started taking ormus, I'd go to sleep.
That too.
This girl had to stay in bed all day because she was sick.
Hmm.
Dennis, I've had that same experience, but the friend that I gave it to that it made sick is now a real ormus puppy. He just he won't go a day without it. But what happened was that the first stuff that I gave him that made him sick, I provoked a Herxheimer reaction.
Oh my!
Did you get that?
Yeah.
The Herxheimer.
That's right. The person that I gave it to had toxic metal poisoning, and most people do have a certain amount of that. And I gave him some, it was a gold preparation, I think, from ZP Tech or one of the other providers, and he just got deathly ill. And then about 3 months later, he plucked up the courage to try it again, and I gave him some of my precipitate. And his colitis problems, which he told me he's been in constant pain for 25 years, and there's nothing the doctors could do about it. And I gave him some ocean precipitate, and 24 hours later he phoned me. He said, God, he says, this stuff's wonderful. He said, I'm about 60% pain-free. And the next day he phoned me again, just absolutely ecstatic, and said, well, now I'm 100% or 99% pain-free. And he said, I think it's just the memory of the pain that's left. He said, I've never felt this good. And as you might well imagine, he's now a regular. I've been making him gallons of this stuff, and he's just swizzling it right down.
We had a similar experience with Crohn's disease. My former boss, came to me and asked me what was in the water, because he had bloody diarrhea and cramp for 20 years, and he drank half a bottle of water, and it stopped completely. I no longer work there, so he has to order it through the website now.
But he does.
I give him a deal on it, but he gave me a bad reference, and so anyway, be interesting to see what the ormus does to him now.
Increase the price.
He gave me a bad reference, and then he went rock climbing with me. I belayed him. I had him up to like on a 50-foot line. I was like, hey, I want to talk to you about this bad reference. It was all I could do to keep him from taking his cell phone out and calling to correct it right on the spot. Anyway. But he's ordering it now because his Crohn's disease, he's no longer having any kind of cramping or diarrhea or any blood in his stool. And I guess I should mention to him he could make his own precipitate. I think he's very disinclined to make his own, but
I think that a precipitate is a wonderful way to improve your digestion.
Change the reference so you can have your clones back.
So I got to say, it's pretty interesting when you got somebody at the end of a line and you ask them about it. Hey, I want to ask you about that bad reference.
The power of leverage.
You can 50 feet away, you hear him go. Anyway.
Very funny. Hey, how's our time, Barry?
It's 3 o'clock.
So we are out of time.
We are pretty much out of time.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Well, I'm going to create some more time, but not on this call.
We can continue this call on the out of body levels where there is no time and there won't be any time limit. Seriously,
yeah,
there's levels at which you can go out there and you can work out and go forward in time, you go back in time. It's all a skill. All you have to do is follow the roadmap.
Good plan.
So.
Aren't you going to be doing the next conference also, Thomas?
No.
No.
Not that I know of.
That's John Hudson.
Good.
Oh, okay.
John Hudson is
our next guest, and no relation to David Hudson, as he keeps saying. Now, John Hudson is a really interesting bloody character. He's like in his late 60s, a military-trained macho genius, who's one of the few people that you'll ever run into who will tell you he's taken apart and put back together an atomic bomb. And so they had to increase the security clearance because now he knew how the whole thing worked. You had to have the security clearance. That's funny. Very interesting.
And they let him take Ormus.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to having him as our guest in a couple of weeks, which will be on the 7th of July. It's not exactly in 2 weeks because the next weekend, in 2 weekends, it's kind of like the last day of the month. It's the first day of the month in Australia. But the last day of the month for you guys. So it's going to be in 3 weeks' time. So stay tuned. I reckon it'll be a great call. And thank you so much for being on the call, you guys. And listen, say hello, say goodbye to Thomas before you go, just so we can hear you.
Goodbye, Thomas.